Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
So we're going to start in verse 10. This is where it talks about the whole armor of God. Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus here, and he's actually in prison. We're going to start in verse 10. This is how he wraps up the letter in Ephesians. It starts with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You're going to notice that the key thing, every time he says it, the whole armor, not part of it, not a piece of it, not here and there, not what you think you need. Put it all on. That you may be able to stand. That's another word we want to point out. He says stand a lot. Stand, withstand. We're going to stand up. We're not going to fall back. We're not going to whimper away. We're not going to look at our situation and cry away and run. We're going to stand. We're going to be ready to fight. So you can against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I feel like that's all we wrestle against, don't you? When I read that. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. When you read all that, you think, holy smokes, we're not alone here. That's a lot of bad stuff out there when you read that. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. There we go again. That we may be able to withstand in the evil day, not back down. Having done all, to stand. We're going to still stand. Stand, therefore. We're standing again. We're not sitting down at all on this. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield up of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Praying always. That's a key thing, too. If you're not praying, get to praying. That's instruction for me tonight from the Lord. Get to praying. Praying's a tool or a weapon that we lay down and don't use enough. Amen. That deserves an amen. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. So, when talking about the armor of God, a lot of times this scripture can be exciting for Christians. We think about the armor of God. We think, man, we're ready to go to battle. It's go time here. Here I am. And I've listened to a lot of sermons on this, and a lot of times that the sermons that I listen to, they go and break down the pieces of the armor one by one, explaining them what they are, why you need to put them on one by one. And that's good, but that's not what I want to do tonight. Tonight I want to dive a little deeper and talk more about the why we need to put it on instead of the what. Talk more about the battle. So the title of my message tonight is Battle Ready. Battle ready. What does it mean to be battle ready is what we're going to look at. What does it look like to be battle ready, and are you battle ready? I want to make it clear tonight that we are in a battle. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is a devil, and he's seeking to see who he can devour. So the three P's is what I've called this, and the reason I use three P's is because it's easy to remember, it's cute, it's fun. Everybody likes it, right? The three P's to getting battle ready, and they are prepare, practice, and patrol. So the first one that we're going to look at is prepare. And in preparation, Paul, he is very clear on what we need to be preparing for. And if you look in verse 11, he says that we need to be prepared so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. And something funny, I thought it was funny to me, and y'all probably think it's funny too because y'all like laughing at me. I think for years I read this as whales, like in the ocean whales, I guess. But I'll tell you why I think this. I think it's like from, like, I'm thinking like Andy Griffith, like a kid wailing on another kid, like, you know, like 1960s or something. Like, I just imagine the devil just like windmilling, just wailing on me. If that makes sense. I knew somebody would think it's funny. Thank you very much for the sense of humor that you brought with you tonight. But anyways, it's not whales with an A. Apparently it has an I in it. So it's wiles. And I've seen a place online that broke this down, and I really liked it. So I put it, they should have it on the screen here behind me. So this is a breakdown of it. First, it just starts with the definition. Wiles are calculated, deceitful maneuvers designed to trap or ensnare you. The goal in this is to weaken faith, undermine God's plan, and lead people away from the truth. The methods in doing this is deception, using lies, twisting scripture, and masking sin to make it appear harmless and pleasurable. Let me tell you, this is not something new that the devil just come up with. If you think back from the beginning, he didn't chop up the apple and try to sneak it into a fruit bowl, or he didn't try to grind it up and sneak it in applesauce. This is exactly what he done. He used lies, twisted scripture, and made it seem harmless. So, the other thing is emotional and mental warfare. So exploiting fear in you, exploiting doubt, depression, or anger to weaken your spiritual resolve. How many times as even, you know, seasoned Christians, we know what we need to do, but sometimes we get mad. We know that, hey, I need to just stop right here where I'm doing and go pray about this. I need to just speak peace into my life, but I just want to be mad. I just want to be mad. So, and then the other is social influence, using other people to cause conflict or influence towards evil behavior. And this is the one that we're real good at picking this one out. It's always that other person's fault. Oh, yeah, they made me do this. Even if you think back to the beginning, when Adam's talking to God, he blames Eve. Eve blames the devil. We're real good to just point it down the line. No, it wasn't me. It was them. They drew that out of me. It was their attitude that done it. So we're really good at that. So Paul tells us in these scriptures to defend ourselves against this, we must put on the whole armor of God. Like I said, the whole, not just a piece of it. And Paul would write about the armor of God relating to Roman soldiers' armor of his time. And most people suggest this is because he is in prison, a Roman prison at this time. And more than likely, there's a guard at his cell guarding him while he's writing this. So that's where he gets this from. What I think is cool that for us, even though we've never seen a Roman soldier's army in real life, unless you're a traveler like the pastor, he's probably been to Rome and actually seen the Roman army. But believe it, I've never seen it. They don't have any Roman army in Sylvania, Alabama, so I've never seen any real armor. But most of us have seen pictures of it. We've seen it on TV. We have a pretty good idea of what it looks like. And also, I think it's cool that 2,000 years later, it still relates so good to our life. Meaning, even their soldiers today, it's still the same concept. You have pieces that you put on to protect you, and you have a weapon to defend yourself with. So I got two illustrations up here. Oh, there are up here. I figured there was because I seen people not looking at me and looking behind me. So that's usually a sign that something changed in the room and we're tired of looking at you. Thank you for putting that up there. But anyways, I put these two illustrations here side by side. One of them's the cute little cartoon character. The other one's the guy that my wife just said, that's you. I need that. I need an awe every once in a while. Family man. I'm a family man. But, I put these two, like I said, one of them's a cute cartoon character. The other one, he's business. I mean, he's ready. He's ready to go into battle. And I put them to the, I'll just go over the, both of them had the same thing. Helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the sword of the spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the shoes of peace. And the reason that I put them side by side and I wanted you guys to look at them is because I feel like a lot of times We look at the one on the left and we think, well, that's a cute story. You know, that would be good for children's ministry, for them to go over and put on all the armor. And, oh, that would be so cute. I want you to know that Paul is writing this for us. This isn't for children. This is for us in real life situations. And this is what we're supposed to be using. So I'm not going to go through each of the pieces of armor tonight, but I did want to touch base on three of them. The three that I wanted to touch base on are the belt of truth, the shield of faith, and the sword of the spirit. So I want to start out first with just the belt of truth. So what is truth? You know, does truth mean that, hey, I'm not a liar. I'm not going to tell any fibs. That's the scripture that I wanted to relate to this is John 14:16. Very popular scripture. And in this is Jesus speaking. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the truth. And the reason that I thought the belt was important that I wanted to bring it up is because when you look at the Roman armor, the belt ain't something that jumps out at you. You're not thinking, man, I, man, I better got my belt before I go to battle. I mean, that doesn't look that important. I mean, it's not a Batman belt. It ain't like it's got utility stuff all in it, and it's just a leather belt. But in studying this, I found out that the belt is what holds all the other pieces together. That's what connects them and holds them together. So this is us. We're putting Jesus around us, and we're building everything else upon that. We stand on Jesus as the truth for our faith, for our salvation, for our peace. All of it is built on him. Amen. The other two are the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And I put these together because I feel like Jesus displayed both of them really good in Matthew chapter 4. And we're not going to turn there, but I'll just ad-lib the story. I'll just tell a little bit about it. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has just been baptized, and the Spirit leads him up to the wilderness. And this is where the devil tempts him three times. And I always thought the story was cool on how he defended himself. So every time that the devil tempted him, he stood on his faith, not as surrounding, not what was going on right now, not his enemy right in front of him, not that, hey, I'm starving, I'm out in the wilderness, I have nothing. He stood on his faith in the Lord. And then he battled him back with the Word of God, which is, that's the coolest part to me. I've always thought that is so cool. We have the Son of God, God in the flesh, that could have brought down lightning, could have done whatever. I mean, I can't even put him in a box to tell you what he could have done, because he could have done anything. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted to, but he defended the devil off with Scripture, and that is for us. That is what he's showing us what to do. If he would have used a bolt of lightning, we'd be like, well, I can't do that. I can't call down lightning, but we can use the Word of God. So the Word of God is our sword. And for me, when I picture me with a sword, I'm thinking like Peter Pan, little bitty knife here, then I'm like this right here. And like Pastor Spencer's got like a ninja sword out. And like, you ever seen that fruit ninja game where people are just slicing fruit left and right? That's sort of what I picture. But the key is I have a sword, and I'll use this thing. And if you don't have a sword, get a sword. Learning Bible scripture is something else that's not just for children. It's not just for them to memorize Bible scripture. That's for us too. We need it. Amen. So the next one is practice. So to practice, we're going to put these things into action. And there used to be a show on TV that I loved. It was called Forged in Fire. And it's not as cool as the name. You hear that name, you're like, man, that does sound like a cool show. This was just blacksmiths making knives, but it's still a good show, ain't it? But in this, they would get blacksmiths from around the country, and they'd have them compete against each other. They would for you guys who might not know how to make a knife, and I'm acting like I do know how to make a knife, and I really don't, but this is how you heat metal, and you beat it, and you form it into the shape of your blade, and then you polish it out. So they would compete against each other. And a battle-ready sword means that it has been tested. Because that was something at the show. At the end of the show, after they made the knife, they would actually put them to the test and actually cut something with it to make sure that it wasn't going to break or hold up. Because as you heat the steel and beat it, even though it can be polished up and it can look great, it can look like it's ready to go into battle, but if it hasn't been put under pressure, if it hasn't been put through the battle, it can break. And that it's the same in our spiritual life. So we need to begin to use God's word in our own life. We need to begin to practice this. Once we prepare, then we start practicing the things that we're getting ready for. And we start with small situations in our life. We don't have to wait until our whole world's falling apart before we turn to God for answers. Start doing it day-to-day life. The other thing is looking up Scripture. If you don't know Scripture, the only way you're going to get to know Scripture is to learn Scripture. So look it up. Start looking it up and start writing it down. Sticky notes are a real good thing for me. I used to put them on my dash. You know, if there's a Scripture that we're standing on as a family, we've taped them to the ceiling of our kids' rooms before, mirrors in our bathrooms, so we see it every morning, that sort of thing. And then as you grow in this, you know, it's going to get easier. You know, at times, at first, you're going to have to be intentional on doing these things, but it becomes where you just start doing it automatically. And as you grow in your word, like I said, you'll end up with a ninja sword, just like Pastor Spencer. As you grow, your arsenal grows. And as your arsenal grows, you'll be able to throw other people's swords. So you'll see other people that are struggling, that they need a good word, and you'll be able to give them something instead of like, I know there's something good in this Bible for you somewhere, but you'll be ready. And then the last one is patrol. We're going to keep watch and be on the lookout. We're going to be intentional about this, and we're going to be mindful on what we're looking at. So we prepare, we get dressed and ready, we begin to practice and exercise so that we're ready, and now we're out patrolling. We're on the lookout. And if you're going to be on the lookout, then you need to know what you're looking for, right? So in verses 6-12, Paul tells us what we're looking for. This is when I stepped in earlier and said, holy moly, there's a lot of stuff out there. So in this, he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. The main thing I want you guys to remember from this is, remember it's not the person. So many times we get mad at people and we think it's the person, but we got to remember that it's something deeper going on. We're fighting a battle that you can't see. We love the person. We always love them. And being on guard, as I begin to close with this, being on guard is the last thing that I wanted to talk about. Being on guard as a man, when you get a family and kids, you want to be a good protector to them. You want to be a good protector, and sometimes we even daydream protecting our family. We might get an imaginary fight in our heads on how we're going to do it, because we're men. That's just what we do. We make up stuff. But if you want to be a good protector of your home, you know, you think about somebody kicking your door down. That could happen, but it's not likely to happen. But I'll tell you what is likely to happen. Something else will sneak in. So we got to be on guard on what comes into our house. If we want to be good men and good protectors of our family, we got to be on guard and protecting on what's coming through our TV, what's coming through our internet, what's coming through our attitudes that we've picked up while at work or at school. People are bringing those in. And then the last thing is protecting. We want to be protecting them with prayer. We want to be protecting our family against depression, against fear, anxiety, rebellion, any of these things that we sense up. And I tell you this because you may run into this with your spouse or your coworker, family member, and I want you to know that it's not them. You know that I want you to take time to stop what you're doing and pray for them. If you get into it with your spouse, this is free advice. I won't charge you anything for this, but I do take donations. If your spouse is mad, do not say, you need to go pray. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. You need to go repent. Any of those things, those are no good. Don't do that. Don't do those things. But what you can do is pray for them under your breath. You can pray for them in your heart. Just pray in the situation. You can tell that there's something wrong. Or if I am going to go pray with Crystal, then I go and pray from my heart. Lord, I love Crystal. I know you love her. Father, I just ask that you just bring peace into this situation. Father, I speak against any anxiety, depression. I speak against any division in our home. That's the kind of stuff you do, and I promise you that it will go over a lot better with your spouse or your coworker. And I tell you this because I want you to be prepared, obviously, and I want you to be trained, and I want you to be on guard, and I want you to be battle ready for whatever comes up. You may be coming out of a battle right now. You may be about to go into a battle. You may be in a battle right now because we're all in one of the three. We're either coming out or about to go into one. I mean, because the battle is coming. And I also want you to know that you're not alone. That's one of the greatest things about being a part of the body of Christ. You're not alone. We're all here for you. We have a prayer team here every Sunday. You can come up, tell them they love. We have intercession once a month, and we have prayer every Tuesday. You can get with any of us pastors, and we would be glad to pray with you on anything or any need that you have. And that's all I got tonight. Didn't change anything. Short and sweet. Pastor said last week that Jesus' longest message is 20 minutes. That's what he said. That's what he said. But thank you, guys. I'll turn it back over to Pastor Spencer. Love y'all.
Amen. I got one. Thank you. Excellent word, Pastor Jeff. I want to highlight a few things here. My favorite part was when he said wrestle. That was my favorite part. Instead of wrestle, I like that. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, and we don't wrestle whales. Okay, that was my two favorite things you said all night long. No, I did have some thoughts come to me that I want to highlight. When Pastor Jeff was talking about studying the Word and learning scriptures and getting in the Word, that is one of the greatest disciplines and weapons that we have as believers. We have the Word of God at our disposal. And it made me think about a sermon I heard not long ago, and this guy was preaching, and he was asking people, how much of your spirituality do you want to outsource to artificial intelligence? Because we have so much technology at our disposal that it will search all these scriptures out for you. You go in ChatGPT, tell me every scripture on sanctification, 30 seconds later, if you got fast internet, it's quicker than that. Boom, you have every scripture. And you know what? It's very easy to just look at those and go, oh, well, now I've got them. But there's something about getting in the pages of the Word and looking for those scripture and going from this one to that one and not just getting the highlights, not just getting the cliff notes. That's like trying to go to book club and all you did was read the back cover of the book and then you're trying to tell everybody the story and how it unfolded. No, if you want to know it, you can't just look at that verse. You got to find out, like Pastor Jeff was pointing out, that Paul was most likely in a Roman prison when he wrote that. That changes what was said. You know, we like to quote, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Or I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and expected end. Guess what? That wasn't written to you. That was written to the people of Judah that were in captivity. And they were in a 70-year-long captivity in Babylon. And so that promise was applied to them. It doesn't mean that, what do we learn from that? That God's faithful, even in the midst of every situation. So there's things that we can take from it, but we like to just grab these scriptures here and there and what Google told us and what ChatGPT told us. And so I want to ask you that question. How much of your spirituality are you outsourcing to technology? Are you just allowing Google or some other thing to find? Get in the Word, read the Word, let it read you. So I think that's a good point. Get in there. And then last thing is when Pastor Jeff was closing, he was talking about how maybe you're in a battle, maybe you've just in a battle. I found that in life, you're always in one of three places. You're in a battle, you're coming out of a battle, or you're going into a battle. You're in one of those stages. You're either fighting something and it's fighting you, or you just got done fighting something, or you're about to fight something. That's all there is. And so it's this cycle, and we see it all throughout the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're fighting, as he said, you're not fighting alone. If you just came out of a battle, get ready, because another one's probably coming around the corner. And what can happen is we let our guard down, and we don't put on the whole armor of God. We go, well, I just fought that battle, and that battle went pretty good. Guess what? The enemy is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So get ready, because another battle is probably coming. And so I just want to encourage you. Pastor Jeff, thank you so much for a wonderful word. Can we show our appreciation to him one more time together? Amen. Well, I'm not going to sit here and preach 20 more minutes on top of his 20 minutes. So why don't you stand to your feet with me tonight? Father, we're thankful that we get to be in your house. As we were worshiping you this evening, I was just overwhelmed at your goodness, thinking about how you told the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You told in Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Jesus Christ, our Lord, you uttered those words in your last days before you ascended to the Father, and you reminded us you are with us forever, even to the ends of the earth. And we say thank you for that, that we have the armor of God. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have true communion and relationship with you. And I thank you that even in the midst of the battle, you are faithful, even in the midst of the trouble. And I pray that for every person that's here tonight that is dealing with a struggle, a battle, a difficulty, or they just came out of one, or they're just going into one, I pray that there would be that ability to, having done all to stand therefore. And to really press into you. God, thank you for giving us these the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, all of these things to put on. And as Pastor Jeff pointed out, may we put on the whole armor of God, not leaving any part of our spirituality or our life uncovered, but we take it seriously, that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We lift you up, King Jesus, and we thank you so much for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may keep you in his peace, and may you know his love, and may you clothe yourself in the whole armor of God, which is your responsibility that he has given to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Go with God. We love you guys.